Have you ever wondered what it would be like to have a direct conversation with God? Imagine standing face to face with the Creator of the universe, experiencing His glory, power, and majesty in an intimate, personal way. The Bible tells us that one man, Moses, had this extraordinary privilege. Moses, the great leader and prophet, had a unique relationship with God that allowed him to speak with Him, as one speaks to a friend, Exodus 33 verse 11. Today I will take you on a journey through the 10 secret things Moses said to God, revealing profound insights and timeless truths that can inspire and transform your faith. And I am going to release a very powerful prayer for you in the matchless name of Jesus Christ. Kindly watch till the end. Secret 1. Who am I that I should go? In the biblical narrative of Exodus 3 verse 11, we encounter Moses, who was called by God to undertake the monumental task of leading the Israelites out of Egyptian bondage. When confronted with this divine commission, Moses responds with the question, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" This moment captures a profound sense of inadequacy and humility within Moses, who, despite his unique upbringing and remarkable life experiences, perceives himself as unworthy and ill-equipped for such a daunting mission. Moses' background is indeed extraordinary. Raised in the Egyptian royal court after being saved from infanticide, he was well-versed in the ways of the palace and the people. Yet, his early life was marked by a significant identity crisis, being a Hebrew raised as an Egyptian prince. His subsequent flight from Egypt after killing an Egyptian taskmaster led him to a period of exile in Midian, where he lived as a shepherd. These experiences shaped Moses into a man with a unique blend of leadership qualities, humility, and an acute awareness of his limitations. When God calls Moses from the burning bush, Moses' initial reaction, "Who am I?" is not merely a question of identity, but also an expression of self-doubt. He recognizes the immense challenge ahead and feels inadequate to confront Pharaoh, the most powerful ruler of the time, and to lead a nation of oppressed people. This reaction is understandable given his long years of obscurity and his previous failure in Egypt. However, God's response to Moses' hesitation is pivotal. "I will be with you." Exodus 3 verse 12. This assurance underscores a fundamental biblical principle. God's presence and power are what enable individuals to fulfill His purposes, not their inherent abilities or qualifications. This theme is recurrent throughout the Bible. For instance, consider the story of Gideon in Judges 6. When God calls Gideon to save Israel from the Midianites, Gideon responds, "But Lord, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." Judges 6 verse 15. Here, like Moses, Gideon feels deeply inadequate and unworthy. Yet, God reassures him, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive." Judges 6 verse 16. Both Moses and Gideon exemplify how God chooses individuals who may seem weak and unqualified by human standards to accomplish His mighty works. The New Testament also echoes this truth. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 1 verses 27 to 29, "But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things, and the things that are not, to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before Him." This passage reinforces the idea that God's selection is not based on human merit, but on His divine purpose and grace. From these examples, we learn that feeling inadequate or unqualified is a common human experience when faced with God's call. However, these feelings are countered by the assurance of God's presence and empowerment. God does not look for the most capable individuals. Instead, He equips those He calls. This principle encourages believers to trust in God's plan and to rely on His strength rather than their own. Therefore, when we, like Moses, face moments of self-doubt and question our capabilities, we should remember that our adequacy comes from God. As Paul asserts in 2 Corinthians 3 verse 5, not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. This divine enablement transforms our weaknesses into strengths and our inadequacies into opportunities for God's glory to be revealed. Moses' question, "Who am I that I should go?" captures a universal human sentiment of inadequacy in the face of divine calling. The lesson is clear. God equips those he calls, and his presence and power are sufficient to accomplish his purposes through us. Trusting in God's plan and leaning on his strength, we can confidently undertake the tasks set before us, knowing that it is God who works through our weaknesses to achieve his will. Secret 2. What if they do not believe me? In the story of Moses, as recounted in the book of Exodus, we see a man who is profoundly aware of his limitations and fears. In Exodus 4 verse 1, Moses voices a significant concern. What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, "The Lord did not appear to you?" This question reflects a deep-seated fear of rejection and doubt about his ability to convince others of his divine encounter and mission. Moses' apprehension is understandable. After all, he is being asked to return to Egypt, the land where he fled after killing an Egyptian, and to confront not just Pharaoh, but also to persuade his own people, the Israelites, who had been enduring oppression for generations. Moses fears that his words alone will not be enough to convince them of his divine mandate. This fear of rejection and the prospect of his mission being dismissed as implausible are daunting obstacles. God's response to Moses' fear is both reassuring and empowering. He does not dismiss Moses' concerns, but instead provides tangible signs to authenticate Moses' divine commission. In Exodus 4 verses 2 to 9, God equips Moses with three miraculous signs: turning a staff into a snake and back again, making his hand leprous and then restoring it, and turning water from the Nile into blood. These signs are given to Moses to address his fear that the Israelites might not believe him. They serve as divine attestations to the reality of God's appearance and the legitimacy of Moses' mission. This interaction highlights an important lesson. Fear and doubt can indeed hinder our obedience to God. However, God, in his wisdom and grace, provides what we need to overcome these obstacles. Moses' story teaches us that God understands our fears and equips us with the necessary tools to fulfill his purposes. The signs given to Moses were not just for the people he was sent to, but also for Moses himself, to strengthen his faith and resolve. The theme of overcoming fear and doubt through divine provision is echoed throughout the Bible. For example, in the story of Gideon, when God calls Gideon to save Israel from the Midianites, Gideon expresses his doubts and asks for signs to confirm God's will. In Judges 6 verses 36 to 40, Gideon requests a sign involving a fleece and dew, and God graciously provides the confirmation he needs. Like Moses, Gideon's initial fear and doubt are met with God's patient assurance and tangible signs of his presence and support. In the New Testament, we see the disciples experiencing fear and doubt, especially after Jesus' crucifixion. When Jesus appears to them after his resurrection, he addresses their doubts directly. In John 20 verses 24 to 29, Thomas, who doubted Jesus' resurrection, is invited by Jesus to touch his wounds and believe. Jesus' response to Thomas's doubt is a powerful reminder that God meets us in our uncertainty and provides what we need to strengthen our faith. The Apostle Paul also addresses the issue of fear and doubt in his letters. In 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, Paul writes, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." This verse encourages believers to trust in the provision and empowerment of the Holy Spirit, which enables us to overcome our fears and doubts. From these biblical examples, we learn that fear and doubt are common human responses when faced with God's calling. However, These feelings do not have to paralyze us or prevent us from obeying God. God's provision is sufficient to equip us for the tasks He sets before us. When Moses feared that the Israelites would not believe him, God provided signs to validate his mission. Similarly, in our own lives, when we face doubts and fears, we can trust that God will provide what we need, whether it be wisdom, strength, or tangible signs of His presence. Moses' question, "What if they do not believe me?" highlights the natural human tendency to fear rejection and doubt our capabilities. The lesson is clear. Fear and doubt can hinder our obedience to God, but they do not have to. By trusting in God's provision and stepping out in faith, we can fulfill the purposes He has for us. God equips us with the necessary tools, whether they are signs, wisdom, or the support of the Holy Spirit, to overcome our fears and be courageous in our faith. Secret 3. I am slow of speech and tongue. In Exodus 4 verse 10, Moses presents another significant objection to God's call. "Pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent. I am slow of speech and tongue." This statement reveals Moses' acute awareness of his limitations and his fear that these shortcomings would prevent him from successfully carrying out the mission God had set before him. Moses' concern about his speaking abilities is understandable, especially given the magnitude of the task. Convincing Pharaoh to release the Israelites and leading a nation out of bondage. However, God's response to Moses' objection is both reassuring and instructive, emphasizing that it is not human eloquence but divine empowerment that ensures success. God reassures Moses by saying, "Who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go. I will help you speak, and will teach you what to say." Exodus 4 verses 11 to 12. This response underscores a crucial lesson. God uses our weaknesses to display His strength. Moses' perceived inadequacies were not obstacles to God's plan. Rather, they were opportunities for God to demonstrate His power and glory. This theme is consistent throughout the Scriptures. The Apostle Paul eloquently expands on this principle in 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9, where he writes, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me.'" Paul's words highlight the transformative power of God's grace, which turns human weakness into a platform for divine strength. Just as God promised to help Moses speak, He provides His grace and strength to overcome our limitations. The story of Moses is a powerful reminder that our limitations are not hindrances to God's work, but are often the very means through which God accomplishes His purposes. This is evident in other biblical narratives as well. For example, consider the story of David and Goliath. David, a young shepherd boy, faced the giant Goliath with nothing but a sling and 5 stones. His youth and lack of conventional weaponry seemed like insurmountable weaknesses. Yet, David's reliance on God enabled him to defeat Goliath, showcasing that victory comes through God's power, not human strength, 1 Samuel 17. Similarly, in the New Testament, Peter and John, described as unschooled, ordinary men, astonished the Jewish leaders with their boldness and wisdom, clearly demonstrating that their effectiveness was due to the Holy Spirit working through them, Acts 4 verse 13. Their story reinforces the truth that God equips and empowers those He calls, regardless of their perceived inadequacies. Moreover, God's assurance to Moses that He would help him speak and teach him what to say invites us to depend on divine guidance in our own lives. When we feel inadequate, we can trust that God will provide the words, wisdom, and strength we need. This dependence is beautifully illustrated in Jesus' instruction to His disciples in Matthew 10 verses 19 to 20. "But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Jesus emphasizes that in moments of great need, the Holy Spirit will provide the necessary guidance and speech, just as God promised Moses. In practical terms, this means embracing our weaknesses and trusting in God's provision. When faced with tasks that seem beyond our abilities, we should remember that our limitations are opportunities for God's power to manifest. Instead of relying solely on our capabilities, we are called to lean on God's strength and guidance. This dependence not only alleviates our fears and insecurities, but also brings glory to God, as His power is made evident in our lives. Moses' concern about his speaking abilities, "I am slow of speech and tongue," highlights a common human tendency to focus on personal limitations. However, God's response to Moses and the broader biblical narrative teach us that our weaknesses are not obstacles but opportunities for God to display His strength. By depending on God's guidance and allowing His power to work through our weaknesses, we can fulfill His purposes and witness His strength shining through our lives. This lesson encourages us to embrace our inadequacies, trust in God's provision, and step out in faith, confident that He will equip us for the tasks He sets before us. Secret 4. If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. In Exodus 33 verse 15, Moses articulates a profound truth about his relationship with God and his understanding of what it means to lead the people of Israel. "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here." This statement reveals Moses' deep reliance on God's guidance and his recognition that without God's presence, all efforts would be futile. Moses knew that it was not his leadership skills or strategic plans that would ensure the success of their journey, but the abiding presence of God. Moses' declaration comes at a critical moment. After the incident of the golden calf, where the Israelites fell into idolatry, God expresses His displeasure and initially refuses to accompany them to the Promised Land, instead offering to send an angel in His place. Exodus 33 verses 1-3. Moses, understanding the gravity of leading without God's direct presence, intercedes on behalf of the people. His plea, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here," honors his belief that God's presence is indispensable. This emphasis on the importance of God's presence is a recurring theme in the Bible. For instance, King David, known as a man after God's own heart, expresses a similar sentiment in Psalm 51 verse 11 when he prays, "Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me." David understood that the essence of his strength and success lay in maintaining a close relationship with God. The New Testament reiterates this principle through the teachings of Jesus. In John 15 verses 4-5, Jesus tells his disciples, "Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself, it must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Jesus highlights that true success and spiritual fruitfulness come from abiding in Him, just as Moses understood that Israel's success depended on God's presence. The lesson from Moses' plea is clear. Seek God's presence in all your endeavors. This means prioritizing a relationship with God above all else. True success and fulfillment come from walking in step with God. It involves daily communion with Him through prayer, studying His Word, and being attuned to His guidance in all aspects of life. One practical application of this principle is found in decision-making. Before making significant decisions, seeking God's presence means praying for wisdom and direction. As James 1 verse 5 advises, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." It means waiting on God's timing and being sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Proverbs 3 verses 5-6 further emphasizes this. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your path straight." Another aspect is living a life that honors God, which invites His presence. In 1 Corinthians 6 verses 19 to 20, Paul reminds believers that their bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, and thus they should live in a way that glorifies God. This involves ethical conduct, integrity, and love for others, reflecting God's character in our daily interactions. Moreover, prioritizing God's presence can transform our approach to challenges and adversity. Moses faced numerous difficulties, yet his reliance on God's presence provided the assurance and strength needed to persevere. Similarly, Philippians 4 verse 13 reminds us, "I can do all this through Him who gives me strength." Recognizing that God's presence equips and empowers us can change our perspective on trials, seeing them as opportunities for God's power to manifest in our weakness. Moses' statement, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here," encapsulates a profound truth about the necessity of God's presence in our lives. It teaches us to seek and prioritize God's presence in all we do, knowing that true success and fulfillment come from walking in harmony with Him. By making God's presence a central focus, we ensure that our actions and decisions are guided by His wisdom and strength, leading to a life that is both fruitful and aligned with His purposes. Secret 5. Show me your glory. In Exodus 33 verse 18, Moses makes a bold and profound request, "Now show me your glory." This moment of deep intimacy between Moses and God reveals Moses' intense desire for a deeper understanding and experience of God's nature and presence. Despite the incredible experiences Moses had already witnessed, like the burning bush, the plagues in Egypt, the parting of the Red Sea, and the daily guidance of God through a pillar of cloud and fire, Moses yearned for an even greater revelation of God's essence. Moses' request to see God's glory underscores his hunger for a deeper relationship with God. This desire is not merely for more miracles or signs, but for a more profound and personal understanding of who God is. God's response to Moses is both revealing and instructive. "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." Exodus 33 verse 19. God then hides Moses in the cleft of a rock, covering him with his hand until he is passed by, allowing Moses to see only his back, for no one can see God's face and live. Exodus 33 verses 20 to 23. This encounter teaches us several important lessons. Firstly, it highlights the nature of God's glory as inherently connected to His goodness, mercy, and compassion. God's glory is not just a visual spectacle, but a profound revelation of His character and attributes. Secondly, it demonstrates that God honors those who earnestly seek Him. Moses' sincere desire to know God more intimately is met with a gracious and protective revelation of God's nature. The Bible encourages believers to seek a deeper relationship with God continually. In Psalm 27 verse 4, David expresses a similar longing. "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple." David's desire to dwell in God's presence and to behold His beauty reflects the same heart of longing that Moses had. It is a pursuit of intimacy with God that transcends mere duty and enters into passionate devotion. The New Testament also underscores the importance of seeking God earnestly. Jesus, in His Sermon on the Mount, says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Matthew 5 verse 6. This beatitude highlights the promise that those who earnestly seek a deeper relationship with God and His righteousness will be satisfied. Furthermore, in James 4 verse 8, we are encouraged to come near to God and He will come near to you. This verse emphasizes the reciprocal nature of our relationship with God. As we draw near to Him with sincere hearts, He responds by drawing near to us. Another powerful example of seeking God's presence is found in the life of the Apostle Paul. In Philippians 3 verse 10, Paul expresses his profound desire to know Christ. "I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death." Paul's yearning to know Christ more deeply, even to the point of sharing in his sufferings, illustrates the depth of intimacy and commitment he sought in his relationship with Jesus. In practical terms, seeking a deeper relationship with God involves regular prayer, studying scripture, and living a life of worship and obedience. It means setting aside time to be in God's presence, to listen, and to commune with him. It also involves a heart posture of humility and openness, ready to receive whatever God wishes to reveal about himself. The story of Moses' request to see God's glory reminds us that our spiritual journey is a continual pursuit of deeper intimacy with God. It encourages us to hunger for his presence and to seek his face with sincere hearts. As we do so, we can trust that God will honor our desire to know him more and will reveal himself to us in profound and transformative ways. Moses' bold request, "Show me your glory," reflects a deep hunger for God that serves as a model for all believers. This narrative encourages us to earnestly seek a deeper relationship with God, prioritizing his presence in our lives. As we hunger for God and seek his face continually, we are promised that he will reveal more of himself to us, honoring our sincere desire to know him more intimately. This pursuit of God leads to a life enriched by his presence, filled with his goodness, and guided by his wisdom. Secret 6. Remember that this nation is your people. In Exodus 32 verses 11 to 13, we find Moses in a profound moment of intercession for the Israelites, who had committed a grave sin by worshiping a golden calf while Moses was on Mount Sinai receiving the Ten Commandments. God's wrath was kindled against the people, and he declared his intention to destroy them and make a great nation out of Moses instead. In response, Moses implores God to relent, saying, "Remember that this nation is your people." He reminds God of his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appealing to God's faithfulness and promises. Moses' intercession highlights the power and importance of standing in the gap for others through prayer. By reminding God of his promises, Moses demonstrates a deep understanding of God's character and his covenantal faithfulness. Moses' plea is rooted in God's own words and commitments, showing that effective intercession often involves invoking God's promises and character. This episode teaches us the valuable lesson of being intercessors for others. Intercessory prayer is an act of standing before God on behalf of others, seeking his mercy, guidance, and intervention in their lives. Moses' intercession made a significant difference as God relented from the disaster he had planned to bring upon the Israelites. Exodus 32 verse 14. This demonstrates that our prayers can indeed influence the fulfillment of God's plans and bring about divine intervention in critical situations. The Bible is replete with examples of intercessory prayer. One notable instance is Abraham interceding for Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis 18 verses 22 to 33. Abraham negotiates with God, asking him to spare the cities if even a few righteous people can be found there. Though the cities were ultimately destroyed, Abraham's intercession reveals the compassion and persistence required in prayer and how God is willing to engage in dialogue with his people. In the New Testament, we see the Apostle Paul frequently engaging in intercessory prayer for the churches he planted. For example, in Ephesians 1 verses 16 to 17, Paul writes, "I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better." Paul's prayers for the Ephesians focus on their spiritual growth and deeper knowledge of God. demonstrating his concern for their well-being and his role in supporting them through prayer. Moreover, Jesus himself is the ultimate example of an intercessor. In John 17, often referred to as the high priestly prayer, Jesus prays for his disciples and for all future believers, asking for their protection, unity, and sanctification. Jesus' intercession highlights his ongoing role as our mediator, as Hebrews 7 verse 25 states, "Therefore he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them." Jesus' continual intercession for us assures us of his ongoing support and advocacy on our behalf before the Father. Effective intercession arises from a heart of compassion and a deep concern for the well-being of others. This means actively seeking to understand their needs and struggles and bringing these before God. Like Moses, we can remind God of his promises, not because he forgets, but as a way of expressing our faith in his faithfulness and character. This involves knowing and citing scriptures that align with the needs we are praying for. Intercession often requires persistence, as seen in the parable of the persistent widow, Luke 18 verses 1-8. We are encouraged to keep praying and not give up, trusting that God hears and will answer in his timing and way. Ezekiel 22 verse 30 speaks of God looking for someone to stand in the gap on behalf of the land. Intercessors take on this role, standing in the spiritual gap through prayer, advocating for mercy, healing, and intervention. Moses' plea, "Remember that this nation is your people." The power of intercessory prayer. It teaches us the importance of being advocates for others before God, invoking his promises and seeking his intervention in their lives. By committing to intercede for others, we align ourselves with God's heart of compassion and participate in his redemptive work in the world. Our prayers can indeed make a significant difference, bringing about change and the fulfillment of God's purposes in the lives of those we pray for. Secret 7. Why have you brought this trouble on your servant? In Numbers 11:11, Moses, overwhelmed by the immense responsibility of leading the Israelites through the wilderness, cries out to God in a moment of deep frustration and exhaustion. "Why have you brought this trouble on your servant? What have I done to displease you that you put the burden of all these people on me?" This heartfelt plea reveals Moses' human vulnerability and his struggle to comprehend the weight of his leadership role. Moses' question echoes a sentiment many of us can relate to, the feeling of being burdened beyond our capacity and questioning why such challenges have been placed upon us. His cry to God reflects a raw honesty and transparency in prayer, demonstrating that it is acceptable and even beneficial to express our frustrations and burdens to God. The lesson from Moses' plea is profound and relevant to our own lives. Moses' example teaches us that it's okay to pour out our hearts to God, even when we are struggling with doubt, frustration, or confusion. God invites us to bring our burdens to him in prayer, as articulated in 1 Peter 5 verse 7, "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." This verse reassures us that God is concerned about our well-being and is ready to listen to our concerns. God understands our struggles and empathizes with our weaknesses. Hebrews 4 verses 15 to 16 affirms, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin." Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Jesus' earthly experience means he can relate intimately to our human challenges, making him the perfect advocate for us before God. Despite Moses' moment of frustration, God responds with grace and provision. In Numbers 11:16-17, God instructs Moses to gather 70 elders to share the burden of leadership, showing his willingness to provide practical solutions to alleviate Moses' load. This demonstrates that God not only hears our prayers but also provides the strength, wisdom, and resources we need to carry out his will. Ultimately, Moses' question to God reflects a deeper trust in God's sovereignty. While he struggles with the burden of leadership, Moses acknowledges God's authority and purpose in his life. Proverbs 3 verses 5 to 6 advises, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight." This passage encourages us to trust in God's wisdom and guidance, even when we face difficulties that seem overwhelming. Practically applying these lessons means cultivating a prayer life characterized by honesty, trust, and dependence on God. It involves regularly communicating with God about our challenges, seeking his perspective and guidance, and trusting that he will provide for our needs according to his will.